Welcome to Carrie's Heli Tech Tips. I'm your host, Carrie Snyder. Today's date is 7/24/24. Anyway, it's just me again by myself. Anyway, the main topic for today is going to be charging systems for our RC helicopters. Things to consider, such as like single or multi-channel chargers, power supplies, power sources for the chargers, charger safety, and I'll also go through various chargers that are available currently. It's not going to be all the chargers, but probably more of the ones that would be better suited for modern helis, probably more high-end helis like 700 class, where you have multiple batteries on board the model. Anyway, to get started, things to consider. Are you going to be flying strictly small helicopters? Are you going to be flying 700, 800 class helicopters? Scale helicopters up to 1,000 millimeter blades, you know, that kind of thing. And considering this, you also got to plan out what kind of batteries does my model require. So, like a little, let's say a Goose Guy S1, for instance. That's a little 2-cell, 300 milliamp battery. Pretty much any charger that's available, cheap, expensive, it don't matter, is going to charge this battery, no problem. A Goose Guy S2, it's a 3-cell, 750 milliamp hour battery. Again, just about any charger you can buy on the market is going to be able to charge this battery. But you get into a 700 class helicopter, now you're talking two 6S5000 batteries. You're looking, if you charge it 1C, which is a 6S5000, you got 5000 milliamps. 1C would be 5 amps. It's 5000 milliamps, so it would be 5 amps. So, if you say you had a 700 class model, you short in the wallet and you want to fly this model a lot, well, you're going to fast charge the batteries, so you buy two batteries, and those are two batteries are what you're going to fly with. Well, in your case, you're going to want to charge fast. It's not recommended, but that's the kind of pilot I am. In order to charge fast, you're looking at charging anywhere from 3 to 5C. So at 5C on a 5,000 milliamp battery, you're talking 25 amps on a 6S5000. And if you had a charger that does two channels at one time, you're looking at a charger that can draw 50 amps of power during a charge. And so if you're starting to see where I'm coming from, your power supply driving the charger is also a factor. And so as your models get larger and larger, you know, there's more things to consider and whatnot. That being said, I have a friend that's doing charge cases. He built me a small charge case in a Nanook case. I think it's a Nanook 905 or what. It's pretty small, like 6x6 square or something like that. Anyway, and it has a small ISD tree charger in it. He built that thing for charging Goose Guy S1 and S2 batteries, like a powerhouse for charging Goose Guy batteries. I will kid you not, I have all the adapters. I charge my 6S5000s at 3C on that little thing. Now, it is one battery at a time, but the little charger is capable of keeping that running. So, just to give you an idea of what we're looking at. So, like I just mentioned, single or multi-channel chargers. In my case, I'm not going to go out there and buy 15 batteries for a single model. I might buy one, maybe two batteries for the model, and you know, I'll charge fast to keep flying. Well, in this case, a multi-channel charger is probably more suited for you. Because as one battery's charging, the other one's finishing, you can rotate them out a little faster. And that kind of helps. There's a lot of chargers on the market right now that are just single channel. And really, all that amounts to is you're going to have to buy two chargers. And with that, you got two chargers running off a single power supply. Now, can your power supply take the power drawn from the two chargers? So if you see, your power supply also plays a big role in how your chargers function. The more chargers you put on your power supply, the less you're going to be able to charge, because they all have to share the power that the power supply can give out. So, I mean, it's not endless power. And most of my charging equipment is antique by today's standards. 90% of the chargers I run are all obsolete and discontinued, but they function perfect. They do everything I ask them to do, and I have very few complaints with them. I've been running them for years and years and years. I started flying helis in 98, and one of my chargers has been running pretty much since then. It started life out just being plugged into my pickup battery, and I've ran it that way. I have a homemade power supply out of Server Power Supplies, and I'm running 24 volts to it, and that particular setup with that charger, I can run two 6S 5000s at 5C on both channels, pulling 25 amps, and the power supply is barely getting warm. I've got three power outlets on the side of my charging case or my power supply case. Two are 24 volt and one 12 volt output, and I can have a third charger, dual channel charger on that one, and I can have two 6S 5000s charging at least 3C on those on it and still run the power supply. And then I think I've had a third charger on the 12 volt side doing like my little Goose Guy batteries and stuff like that charging, and the power supplies are taking it. And now my power supplies are in a completely separate case. Like the size of an old handheld toolbox. It's almost in a case like that. The internals are fairly dangerous for the modifications you have to do to the server power supplies. So it's in the safety sense, you got to keep the lid closed and all that. But as with flying a helicopter or flying an airplane or anything, there's safety precautions you take as you're conducting your hobby. So I guess I've kind of slid into my power supply and power sources. Some chargers have the AC power supply built into them. Others are just strictly like a DC in. DC 12 volt, DC 24 volt. I've seen them up to DC 48 volt. That's a lot of power. I can understand where some people would want it, but that's more than I need. But this is all stuff to consider when charging your batteries. If you're going to fly electric aircraft, if you're going to do nitro or a gasser or a turbine even as I do, you're looking at a 2-cell receiver battery, a 2-cell ignition battery. Again, like the Goose guys, just about any charger on the market, whether it has an internal power supply or whatever, is going to be more than enough to charge those batteries. Those batteries there, you're probably going to pre-charge the night before you go fly. And then you go to the field and you can fly all day long on a single charge. Where your electric helis, you're going to have a flight pack. The flight pack gets one flight, you got to recharge. And that's just part of it. Anyway. So as far as charger safety, the best guideline I can give you to follow is charge at 1C. If, say, a battery is a 6S5000, you charge it at 5 amps, period. That is the safest thing you can do. You never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, leave a charger charging unattended. The second you walk away from that charger is when that something's going to fail and it's going to start a fire. And it is well documented online. It is well documented on YouTube of a charging battery system burning a house down, burning a shop down, burning an RC trailer down, burning the pits at the RC field down because of an unattended battery charger charging. So under any circumstances, never leave a battery charging unattended, ever. You crash a model and your battery receives scrapes and bruises and burns and bumps and starts swelling and all that, never leave that battery unattended. Do not set it all by itself. Find some sugar sand or something to set it in, because if that thing goes up, it's going to light wood on fire. It's going to set your other batteries on fire. If there's flammables around it, it's going to burn up. If these lipos have any kind of charge in them, that they will start a fire. They burn violent. Anyway, I can't stress enough, never charge unattended. Even when I'm at a fly-in, I'll disappear. I'll be sitting in my trailer, and I'm sitting there right there next to my chargers and watching my batteries. I'm constantly reaching over there, grabbing my packs. If any of them get warm during the charge, I shut the charge down immediately. And then I unplug the pack, and I set it off to the side, usually stood up on end so it gets maximum airflow around it, and I let it cool off before I continue charging it. I try to look at its resistances and stuff like that, if the power supply gives me that kind of thing. But, I mean, like I said, you want to sit there with your chargers. You want to look at the data that the charger's telling you. You can see failures about to happen there. I personally have had a failure on that case my buddy built me. I can't explain it. I had another lead plugged into another port he had. I plugged in a Goose Guy battery, and it fried the balance lead or the balance board on it. And what a balance board is it allows you to connect multiple batteries of the same milliamp, the same cell count to a single channel of a charger, and you can charge multiple batteries at a time. I will be honest with you, I've only done it one time with this case, with Goose Guy batteries, and I don't know, I just get an uneasy feeling doing it, so I don't ever do it. Charges between cells need to be as close to each other as possible, even amongst the separate batteries. Because as soon as you plug that balance lead in, all the cells try to balance to each other. So you got a big rush of current going through the circuitry and stuff of your balance board when you do that. And it just, I don't know. I just, on the safety side, I don't like balance charging. Oh my goodness. Charging multiple batteries at one time on a balance board. I balance charge every charge. I know some of my more modern chargers, they'll allow you to just charge without balancing the LiPo, and then like at the end of the day, you can do a balance charge. I don't. Is it good or bad? I don't know. I can't tell you. I can tell you what I do religiously is at the end of the day, I put all my batteries back into storage, which is 50% charge, and I try my best not to leave them fully charged or fully discharged ever. And I'm not the best at it, but I try. So I guess that's kind of my little rant on charger safety. Power supplies is the same thing. I mean, you just want to make sure you plug them in correctly. You reverse the polarity. You can short stuff out, that kind of thing. You drop something in, if you do a power supply case like I did, you drop something in there and it shorts one of the power supplies out. More than likely, it's going to take the other one out with it. You got 110 volts going into it, and it's gonna be awesome. So let's get into various chargers. I'm going to start off by going to the ISDT website, and let's see what they got. Desktop charger. Let's see. It looks like they do cell phone chargers and all that as well. So let's go into the hobby chargers. They got a couple of them that do have AC built into them. There's some that are AC-DC. Hey, where does it keep going? All right. And we got DC chargers, which is what I pretty well run. So, on the AC chargers, that's probably some of their more pricey ones. They got an X16 that is a dual channel, which means it has basically two separate chargers in it. And it is capable of charging up to 16S batteries. So that would probably be eight cell batteries on each channel. So one channel will do 8 cell battery, the other channel will be 8 cell battery, and that'll give you your 16 battery pack. It's 2200 watts. Me personally, I'm more into the amps. So that is 20 amps a side. So a 6S5000, you could charge at 4C on both sides. And that's just plugging it into a wall. It has its own power supply built in and everything. But with this charger, you're looking at $600 for this charger. It's all self-contained. All you need is your charge leads to plug into your batteries. I'm sure it has a port where you plug in your balance leads. I've only seen one in person like once, so I'm not 100% familiar with it. Yes, it's got balance leads on the side of it, which they make extensions so you could extend that out. It looks like it's got those yellow battery connectors. I think they're XTs. That's something. Dang it, I clicked off that one. Stop. All right, they got a ISDT D2 Mark II LiPo battery balance charger. It's 200 watts, 12 amp. So basically, you could do... So at 12 amps, you could do two 6S5000s on here, but you could only do 2C on both of them, which would be 10 amps. No, I take that back. You could only do 1C per battery, because 1C on a 6S5000, remember, is 5 amps. So if you had a battery on each channel at 5 amps, that's 10 amps. Your charger's only rated for 12 amps. So you're pretty well maxed out right there. And you're looking at $100 right this. And this has a built-in power supply. You just plug it into the wall. It's got the balance leads. It's got the depending on what battery connector you run on your model, you may have to make an adapter to plug it in. Like your 6S5000s, more than likely, they'll have a larger connector than what the charger has. So you'll have to have an adapter lead for it anyway. Alrighty, let's see. Click back. So, like in the hobby chargers here, would you quit moving? Dang webpage. Anyway, go back down. Alright, so what I use on my daily chargers, one is an Air 8. And, oh, I don't see the other one. Oh, okay, it's a Q6. The Q6 Nano is what I've got in my charge case. The Air 8 is what I have. It just kind of just sits on the counter. I plug it into another power supply I have and everything. The Q6 is a 200-watt charger. It's a single channel. That means it's just it'll only charge one battery at a time. Unless you have a parallel board. The parallel board, that's the one you charge multiple batteries on. It requires an external power supply. And let's see here. It will do 9 amps max charging. So, like when I put my 6S5000 on there, I'm only able to do 1C on it. Your DC input for the charger is 7 to 32 volts. So you can run a 12 or 24 volt power supply all day long on it. It's only a 9 amp charger. So a 10 amp power supply is going to be more than enough to run this little charger. And it's I don't know, 3 inch by 3 inch by probably an inch tall. It's a tiny little charger, and I've got to say it's quite impressive. And guess what? You're only looking at $30 for this little charger, and this is from the ISDT website. This is from the manufacturer website, and this thing absolutely does not want me to look at the hobby stuff. All right. The ISDT Air 8 I have is a 500-watt charger. It is capable of 20 amps. It does balancing. It's capable of charging 1 to 8S LiPo batteries. I have charged, let's see. Yeah, I've charged my 6S5000s at 3C, which is 15 amps, on one of these. It actually shut down my little power supply I have in another case. It actually pulled enough power that it shut those power supplies down. They couldn't keep up. But again, let's see here. What is its input? 20 amps max, 500 watts. Input voltage DC of 10 volts to 34 volts. So again, as long as you got a 12 to 24 volt power supply, you can plug this thing in. It runs the XT60 for the an XT plug on the side of it for your input and the output are both the same size. See if I can figure out what it was. I don't remember. It's one of the yellow XT connectors. I don't know what. I don't know my XT connectors. I use EC connectors. So I'd have to look them up for you. So, ISDT is a good chance. There's a Toolbox RC that's very similar to ISDT. They have similar chargers. The Air 8's $60. So, you're really not looking too bad. A good place to get power supplies and chargers alike is a website called Progressive RC. And it's progressiverc.com. They've got refurbished chargers. They got different brands. They got balance leads. They've got charge lead adapters. They've got all kinds of stuff. They have turnkey charging cases you can buy. Progressive RC is like the go-to place for your charging needs. And they got another brand called iCharger. iCharger has been around for a very long time, for as long as I've been in the heli hobby. They're a little more pricey. These are dual channel chargers. They start at $319.99, $349.99. They got a small one, kind of like the ISDT. It's that one almost looks like a two channel. It's $209. There's an ISDT K2 Air $150. That kind of thing. Like I said, they got power supplies, Meanwell power supplies, which are probably more the better power supplies to have. They sell the ISDT chargers here. There's the little eye charger I was looking at. It's $130. It's a little S6 or an X12. Okay, so the X12 will charge up to 12S batteries. Cool. So I hope I didn't throw out too much information all at once, but it kind of gives you an idea of what to think about if you're going to get started in helis and stuff like that. And you buy one of these chargers for your helicopter. Will it charge your RC car? Yes, it will. Will it charge your airplane? Yes, it will. Just because I'm mentioning these for the helicopter side doesn't mean they're not capable of charging other things. I've got some chargers that are no longer produced. The company went out of business. They're even capable of charging my pickup batteries. Just what you buy, you know. I've been flying helicopters since 98, and I'm pretty well still using the same chargers I bought back then. I went to a fly-in, and a buddy I met up with, he had a Hyperion charger, two-channel. And back then, I didn't have a savings account or nothing. And this particular charger was their flagship charger. It could do 7S on both channels, and I forget I forget how big of a battery it could charge. But I mean, I can run 5C on two 6S5000s, and that charger doesn't even flinch. And that charger is still running today. That charger cost me almost $400. And it's a DC-only charger. And back then, I was running it on 12 volts and stuff like that, so I couldn't charge that awesome back then. But with the power supply I have now, I can. It's getting hard to get charge leads and stuff like that for it in modern times, but it is still functional, and I try to take as good a care of it as I can so it continues to function in the future. So this brings me to the Spectrum website, spectrumrc.com, and kind of just glancing over their chargers. They got a single channel 55 watt smart charger, charges up to 4S batteries. So basically your 450 class and down helicopters, this could charge. It's $60. it looks like they got that Spectrum Smart technology. So in your main battery connector, if it has the little metal tab in between the two main prongs, it'll as soon as you plug it in, it'll auto-load all of the battery features and stuff. It has to be a Spectrum battery. It's the only one that does that. Those battery connectors are called IC3 and IC5. Let's see here. Features. Detachable power cord. So this thing must have a built-in power supply. It does nickel metal hydride, NiCad packs, LiPo's life batteries, lithium ion, lithium high voltage. That is 1 to 12S nickel metal hydride and NiCad packs. Let's see here. It doesn't say how it's powered. I can't tell if it's a DC or AC. All right, let's go back. All right, I'm only seeing. Oh, I got a scroll wheel. So yeah, they got 16 amp power supply, 380 watts, $120. 100 watts, $24. USB-C smart charger. So that outputs USB-C. So if they had a charger or something, that would use that. There's a G2 two-channel by 200-watt smart charger, $279. S1200 is a single-channel 200-watt. That's $150. Two-channel 50-watt. So, I mean, that'd be you're like a little goose guy S1 or whatever. Wow, Spectrum has more chargers than I thought. There's a little 4-port 1S battery if you flew quadcopters or something. So, I mean, that kind of gives you an idea of just going through the chargers. So, I think I'm going to wrap it up with that. I think it's been long enough. Dadgum, I'm 30 minutes. Wow. Anyway, let's get into events. The next thing I got showing is actually the Abilene Chopper Madness. That'll be September 13th through the 15th in Abilene, Texas at the Dick Bowen Airfield in CB Park. I've been going to it for years. I actually grew up in Abilene, Texas. My mom's side of the family all still lives out there. So this is a guaranteed go-to every year for me. Their website is www.abilenerccsociety.com. Their pilot fee is $40. It is a helicopter-only event, and your registration does include Saturday lunch. They usually have a pretty good raffle. Most of them fly V-Bar, which is a transmitter flight controller. It's a Mikado. They used to make helicopters. I don't know what they still do, but they're still hanging in with the flight controller and the V-Bar radio. They were a lot bigger in the past. I don't know. I haven't seen any of their models being advertised lately, so I don't know if they're still producing models or not. I guess the next weekend or the weekend after next would be the Superfly in Lindsay, Oklahoma. That's pretty much a fixed-wing, rotary-wing event. It is at the Lindsay, Oklahoma airport. They're actually shutting the airport down for this event. The city helps promote it and everything. The city's all gung-ho about it and everything. But that is the September 26th through the 29th. Unfortunately, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make that one. And then the last thing I got is our personal fun fly swap meet at the club. Naturally, Crockett, Texas, October 12th, 2024 at the Houston County Screaming Eagles RC Club at the Oh my gosh, the Civic Center in Crockett. We're in the field right next to the Civic Center. Oh my gosh. And our website's www.HoustonCountyScreamingEagles.com. Our registration fee is $25. Fixed wing, rotor wing, no power. So bring your table, bring your own tables, bring your own power, bring your own shade, and come have fun. Sell your hardware and fly with us and have a great time. Let's see here. After that, I believe that's it. So if you want to get in contact with me, you can email me at carriesnyder@yahoo.com. You can find me on Facebook, Carrie Snyder, or carriesnyder442 on YouTube. I'm not on Facebook a whole lot, but that's also how I get my event notices. And I need to get on there more. And, any way I can help, I'll gladly help to the best of my abilities. I've got a pretty interesting thing coming up that we could probably put on this. I've got to talk to the club president and see if he's okay with it. But he has acquired a flybar helicopter that'll be a great trainer. And I believe this is going to be a good way to start off with the video side of this. We're gonna tear the model down. We're gonna double check, make sure it was built correctly. We're gonna make sure the model's safe to fly. I'm gonna meet up with him and we're gonna go over their aircraft and make sure there's nothing we need to replace or a safety concern with it to begin with. Because if that's the case, then there's no point in us even touching the model, because finding parts for this thing is going to be difficult. But if it's in flyable condition, we'll have a great model to do this with. And I know he wants to be there to learn how to set it up and that kind of thing. So as we can set up a camera and we can go through this with him and with y'all. And if he's willing to do it, I think this will be fun. And I'll get with him and see if he's willing to do it, and we'll go from there. So if I believe that's everything, and I appreciate y'all listening. And till next time, get out there and go fly.